Hi, and welcome to another episode of Teen Health Matters. This is Dr. Jacqueline Dujay from the Howard County Health Department with my two co-hosts today, Patrick Keith and Grace Leachman. We have a special guest today to talk about teens and sleep, Dr. Taish Hall Brown. So I'll let Patrick and Grace take it over and start our conversation with our special guest today. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Jackie. So once again, I'm Patrick Keefe, co-host Grace Leachman. And so today we want to talk a little bit about sleep because, once again, this is another relevant topic that we think teens face every day with sleep. So Grace, on average, how many hours of sleep do you think you get a night?
I would say that I probably get the most out of most of my friends with about 7 to 8 every night.
Wow.
I'm usually pretty good about going to bed, but that's just me. I know most of my friends are pretty lucky if they're getting 7 to 8 hours of sleep. So yeah. How much are you usually getting?
That's extremely impressive. I usually average about 5 to 6 hours a night if I'm lucky. Mm-hmm. So 7 to 8, that's actually really impressive. I wish I had that willpower. Most of the time for me, when I get home from school, I'll just, you know, take a 2-hour power nap, wake up, and just go through my day. So getting that 7 to 8 hours is a little harder for me. Mm-hmm. But we're going to jump right into the interview. So, doctor, would you like to tell us about your work with sleep and teens?
Sure. This is kind of an exciting time for many different projects. In particular, we're excited about a mobile application that we're developing that we call Choose to Snooze. And it is an application that allows teens to monitor their sleep and also to provide real-time information regarding things that might impact or influence their sleep, such as stress or noise levels or other things of that nature. We're able to take that information and then provide feedback so that the teens can have a higher likelihood of obtaining adequate sleep.
So why is sleep so important for teenagers?
I guess the easiest way to think about it is that sleep is your body's way of recharging. So every night, most of us will plug in our cell phones, put it on the stand next to it, and in the morning, it'll be ready to roll and ready to use throughout the day. Our bodies need much the same recharging in the sense that we need to allow our bodies time to kind of recharge and restore so that the next day we're able to function properly.
Now, for teens specifically, why is it important for teens to get sleep? How do our bodies differ from, say, the average adult when it comes to sleep?
Well, for one thing, you need more. We're looking at a larger amount of sleep that are necessary. But part of that is because of the developmental issues that come into play. So obviously, there's lots of changes and things that are going on during adolescence.
So what would you recommend would be a good amount of sleep for teenagers to get? How many hours?
So the National Sleep Foundation recommends that teens ages 14 to 17 obtain anywhere from 8 to 10 hours of sleep and with regard to optimal.
Now, when it comes to teens, I think for myself and a lot of my friends, we are suffering from mild sleep deprivation. What would you say are some of the major signs or kind of symptoms that are associated with that?
We're thinking of just a complete loss of sleep. But more or less, teens are acquiring inadequate sleep or chronic levels of poor sleep. And so some of the indicators that a teen is not receiving adequate sleep is that they might fall during the day. So if you're in class and you're dozing off, nodding off, that's a sign that you need more sleep in the evening. Or if you're having trouble with poor concentration, attention, all those things may point to sleep problems. Other things, you might not function as well in athletic events or in your academics. You may be more irritable, so your frustration tolerance is a little bit lower than it might be otherwise. Some teens get moody, so that they might have more low affect when they don't get enough sleep. So there's lots of different things that we can see during the day that are associated or linked to inadequate sleep.
You said that sleep can affect a teen's academic performance. Is there, in your opinion, do you think this has anything to do with the really early start time of high school, or is it just unrelated, no matter how early you wake up, it depends on like when you get to bed?
So the school start times are obviously a very controversial issue. There are many people who believe that school start times are very early. And really what we're looking at is the notion that for teens, as you go through adolescence, you have more of a propensity towards shifting your sleep schedule. So So essentially, they are able to go to sleep later, but in a sense, they also need to wake up later. And so what the early schools do are truncate teen sleep. So what we're looking at is a sense, in essence, that they are getting less sleep than what they need. So by shifting it and then requiring them to wake up super early, you then are kind of forcing the teen to get less sleep than what their body is telling them that they need. So the early school start times do play a role in the function, but it's related to this idea that the teens are not getting adequate sleep because they're going to bed a lot later and then having to wake up super early. If you let that same teen go to bed and wake up when they want to on the weekend, you'll notice they'll probably still go to bed around the same time, perhaps a little bit later, but then they also wake up later. So you'll see that natural shift, but there's nothing environmental or social that is requiring them necessarily to get up on the weekends. So it's related to this truncation of their overall sleep time.
In your opinion, why do you think teens have so many problems sleeping? Like, what do you think are the major barriers holding them back from getting those recommended 8 hours every night?
Sure. There's a lot of things going on. One thing we just talked about, which is kind of this, our bodies or their bodies' natural propensity to shift their sleep. So to go to bed later and wake up later. So where an adult might start to get sleepy at 9 or 10 o'clock at night, the same isn't necessarily true for a teen. They might start to get sleepy a little bit around 11 or 12 o'clock at night at times. So that's one thing that kind of influences their ability. Other things that research has found is social media and technical types of objects like iPads and phones, and really kind of this interaction between their peers and other social outlets. Sometimes there are kind of factors that teens can't control, such as some of them have to have jobs or choose to have jobs. So they may have to work in the evenings or work in the afternoons, and therefore pushes their ability to complete their homework and whatever other things that they're doing back later. Or if they're involved in sports, that too will impact kind of their evening routine, such that it might force them to have to stay up later in order to fit in all of their obligations. So if a teen is playing sports, but they're also have a heavy course load and have homework, all of that, you know, plays a role in terms of what they have to do in the evening in order to get to bed on time.
So you said that social media can have an effect on how teens sleep. I've heard from recommendations that you should put your phone away like a half hour, an hour before you go to sleep. Why is that? What effect does your phone have on you and your sleep cycle?
Right. So there's a couple of things that research has found with regard to the use of electronic devices before going to sleep. And you're right, it should be, most people recommend using them no closer than a half an hour before bedtime. So anytime from a half an hour to your bedtime, you should not be using electronic devices. Part of that is associated with kind of the content. So sometimes the content of what you're reading or what you're doing can influence your stress levels or cause you to become more excited, which would be, you know, harder for you to kind of rev down if you're doing that right before bed. So let's say you read something on Facebook that is stressful or that bothers you, and then you try to lay down and you've kind of got that running through your mind. So that's one way to look at it. But the other thing to think about is the light that is emitted from those devices. So there's different wavelengths of light, including blue light, that impact kind of our body's ability to rev down or to shut down. And so the light from the, in particular the blue light from these electronic devices, suppresses the release of what we call melatonin, which is a hormone from the pineal gland in the body. And by suppressing the release of that, it makes it harder to fall asleep. That's why most of the things that you read, the tips and other sleep specialists will recommend that you don't utilize electronic devices within a half an hour to an hour of bedtime.
Now, what a lot of teens have started doing as I think high school moves on and, you know, they're staying up later, they're staying on their phones longer, is that they've started switching to less sleep, more caffeine. So what is the effect, say, of a cup of coffee every morning for a teenager?
Yeah, so caffeine obviously isn't the best way to deal with it either. I mean, a lot of us utilize that. Caffeine use, although it'll help you get through the day, just like a power nap will help you get through a day, it can have ramifications in the evening when you try to fall asleep. So in the morning, it's not so bad. But if you have caffeine in the afternoon, say after 12 or 1 o'clock, caffeine has a long half-life, which means it stays in your body for a longer period of time than you probably think about it. When you try to rev down or get ready to go, that caffeine might still be in your system.
So you mentioned that napping, a power nap can help you get through the day. Is it okay to nap? And if so, how long should the average nap last?
Right. So napping can be used in different ways. So a power nap can be suggested if you are finding that you're having what we call daytime somnolence, which means you're falling asleep during the daytime because you're not getting enough sleep at night. But napping can also have kind of a negative effect in the evening when you try to then fall asleep. Just naturally for all of us, throughout the day we have what's called a sleep need, and that sleep need grows throughout the day. And the ideal situation is that it peaks at night when you're about to fall asleep. So if you take a nap, you essentially decrease that your body's need for sleep, and then it has to build up again. So it may not be at its peak or at a level at which it helps to induce sleep in the evening if you take a nap, because you've kind of reduced that need in the middle of the day. So although it can help you get through the day, at night it can be problematic. So what we recommend often is that people, if they feel the need to take a nap, to take a short nap, half an hour to an hour, see how that then impacts the rest of your functioning. So if you take a nap, but then at night it's hard for you to fall asleep, then perhaps that's not the best way to deal with your daytime somnolence. And maybe that you need to not take a nap, go through, but then make more time in your evening schedule to get the adequate amount of sleep that you need.
Would you be able to go over the concept of sleep debt with us? Because like you said earlier, you know, a lot of teens are staying up later, and then when you let them sleep in on the weekend, they're sleeping a lot later. So does that sleep on the weekend, is that a healthy cycle? You know, stay up later and then on the weekend you just catch up for the new week? Or is that an issue for teens?
It's an issue for teens. The inconsistency in sleep schedule is something that often impacts people's ability to function and kind of their overall ability to obtain adequate sleep. It's kind of a cycle that teens get into due to this kind of shift, this biological shift that they have, where they are truncating their sleep during the weekday. And when we say a sleep debt, what that means is that on Monday, let's say I truncate my sleep by an hour, so I'm only getting 7 hours of sleep. And then the next Tuesday, I'm truncating it again by that same hour, or even maybe 2 hours. I'm accruing what we think of as a sleep debt. So each day that I'm not getting my 8 to 10 hours of sleep, I'm accruing debt, almost like you would think about money, taking something out each day. You're supposed to get 8 coins, but instead of getting 8 coins on one day, you only get 7 coins. And then the next day, you only get another 7 coins. Well, say at the end of the week, when you're supposed to give whomever, after the 40 coins, you have a debt and the coins. So if we think of it in that way, our sleep is similar in the sense that we're supposed to be getting about 8 to 10 hours of sleep as a teen. And then the less sleep that we get on those weekdays, we're accruing or banking a debt. And then on the weekends, teens try to make up for that. But that's actually not the best way to make up for it.
So like during a winter break or a summer break or something like that, when teens are doing a lot of sleeping, is it possible to get too much? Are there any negative consequences to that?
Ideal situation is to stay consistent with your sleep schedule, and we know that's hard because during the summer and during breaks, there's always so many fun, activities. In general, keeping a consistent schedule is important, and you ask if getting too much sleep is a problem. And usually when someone's getting too much sleep, let's say they're getting 11 hours or 12 hours of sleep, and it's a consistent thing, we often think that there might be other things that are happening. There might be other things that are going on. So, for example, excessive sleep can be a sign of depression. So if we see someone who is spending most of their day sleeping, we might want to query to see if perhaps they might be feeling symptoms of depression or experiencing some other type of health issue, just to make sure that they're functioning health-wise okay.
Going off what you just said, when teens are experiencing those feelings of depression or going through depression, how important is sleep at that juncture?
I mean, in general, sleep is one of those things that pervades every area of our life. So the more sleep we get, the better able we're able to handle our moods. And someone has, different forms of psychopathology, including depression. Sleep is always helpful, but you want to make sure that they're not oversleeping. they're so low, they're so sad that it's difficult to get out of bed in the morning. And so in those situations, we want to activate them more, help them to do things, to find pleasure in things that they, you know, used to feel pleasure in. So it is important, but I think it's important no matter whether someone's feeling sad or blue or anxious. I think in general, sleep just has a very good effect on our ability to function properly.
So what are some tips for teens who want to sleep more, who want to improve their sleep cycle?
Exactly. So the thing that I've been harping on, I guess, the most is sticking to a consistent sleep schedule. So trying to maintain a consistent bedtime and a consistent wake time. And whether that be on the weekday or the weekend, just making sure that you do your best to schedule sleep. Part of the reason why we chose the name that we chose for the app, Choose to Snooze, because a lot of times people forget to make time for sleep in their schedule. So one of the things you want to do is look at your schedule, see if you even have enough time to fit in 8 to 10 hours, and if not, to see how you can adjust that time frame. So a consistent schedule. We also recommend having a relaxing bedtime ritual. So something that you can do consistently, whether it be, you know, reading a book right before bedtime, taking a shower, or listening to some music. Just something that can help you unwind, so that you're essentially preparing your body for sleep. Daily exercise, especially earlier in the day, is important. Not necessarily right before sleep, but during the day, exercising is very helpful. Making sure that your room is comfortable so that the temperature is a comfortable temperature. Most of the time, it's recommended right around 65 to 70 degrees as a comfortable temperature for a room. Making sure there's not a lot of light that's in the room. Again, we do much better in a dim light situation or when it's dark so that our body can also prepare itself for sleep. And then also making sure there's not a lot of sound, a lot of noises in the room, and whether they're coming from in the house, so other family members who aren't ready to go to sleep but might be doing other things such as cleaning or watching TV or things of that nature, making sure that we're kind of free from those noises. It may be that it has to be a conversation that a family's having together and the choice that they're making that sleep is important. But sometimes there's also sounds from the outside, so you might want to invest in either a white noise machine or something that can reduce the noise that are having in your room from outside. We also suggest comfortable mattresses and pillows. So if your bed's not comfortable, it's hard to go to sleep. So making sure you have a comfortable bed, comfortable pillow. And then, again, we talked about no caffeine after a certain time of the day, which is in the afternoon, and no alcohol. Sometimes people will use alcohol to help them fall asleep, but it actually has a reverse effect. And then utilizing electronics no closer than 30 minutes before bedtime. So sometimes shutting them off at a 30-minute mark is helpful. So those are some of the basic recommendations that I would have for a teen. Sometimes it's an individual thing, and they might have to also consider things like stress levels and anxieties that they might have that might be influencing their ability to get sleep.
And I just have a quick clarifying question. Is the Choose to Snooze app, is that live right now on the App Store?
No, it's not live right now. We're in development stages, and we're hoping to be able to get that out sooner rather than later.
Got it. Yeah. So is there anything that we didn't cover that you'd like to share? Anything about sleep or any way teens, you know, can get better sleep? Any advice you have?
My biggest advice is really to make time for it. I think a lot of us are surprised by how don't schedule in time, like how we don't have enough time in our schedule for it. I know I talked to a patient not too long ago, and we were going through their schedule because they were trying to see, okay, what is going on? Why can't you get sleep? And literally, as we marked out every hour of the day, there wasn't enough time to even get close to 8 hours of sleep. I think all that was left was 5 hours because they were going to a gym at a certain time, they were doing homework. And so I think we really need to make an effort to schedule in, you know, if you will, or make time for sleep, because it is a very important part of our growth and development, in particular for teens.
Definitely. Well, thank you so much for taking your time to be interviewed by us.
My pleasure. It was great talking with you.
You too.
Thank you, Doctor.
You're welcome.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Be because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff, even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover keytar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
6 o'clock on Fridays and 10 a.m. on Saturdays is Fiesta Time with me, your friend, tu amiga, Cris Oviedo. The one and only show en español, El Dragón te trae caliente. Cris Oviedo, join me every Friday, 6 p.m., Saturday, 10 a.m. Take me with you. Download the app for the iPhone or for the Android. We are Dragon Digital Radio. Don't forget, caliente.
Okay, so 5 tacos of cheese and a large soda, that's $10,012. Please drive around.
Wait, 10,000 what?
It's obvious you're buzzed and driving.
I've only had a few. I'm fine.
Yeah, the food's $12, but getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Please drive around. Actually, just park and come in.
Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Join Mary Weeks and Cris Oviedo on Columbia Matters Radio. Learn all the Columbia Association-related news, events, and programs. Columbia Matters Radio airs every Sunday at 1:30 and Mondays at 9:30. You can take us with you by downloading the Dragon Digital Radio app on the iPhone and Android App Store or dragondigitalradio.podbean.com.
Hey, there he is. How's it going?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you going to shake my hand or what?
I'm having a stroke.
Wow, you're not even moving your arm.
I'm having a stroke.
Are you okay?
I'm having a stroke.
Your face looks weird, too.
I'm having a stroke.
Are you having a seizure or something?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately. Because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Transforming together.
Love is not always enough, and it's wonderful and it's beautiful, but if you love someone and there's not other things missing, like trust or communication or clear expression of expectations and needs and desires, it's okay to say this isn't working anymore.
Join in the conversation Tuesdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 3:30 p.m. Or just check it out on our podcast, Dragon Digital Radio, podbean.com. We are Dragon Digital Radio.
So from that, now we got the medical side of sleep. But from your own experience, Grace, what do you see in, you know, your peers, your school that affects sleep?
I think one of the main causes, and I think this is the cause of a lot of issues that teens face today, is overscheduling. The fact that you got to wake up early, you got to wake up at like 6 o'clock or whatever so that you can go to school for your 7 to 8 hours. And then a lot of people are in athletics or in clubs or have a job. So they're not actually getting home from school until 5 or 6. And then you got to eat dinner, you have to shower, then you're taking all these classes. And then so you got a ton of homework. And by the time you finally can unwind enough to go to sleep, you're looking at it's basically morning by then. You're looking at 2 or 3 in the morning. And so I think that's why a lot of kids have issues with finding enough sleep, is not because they're procrastinating sleep or they just like to stay up late. I think it's they just don't have time to get the 8 to 10 hours. They can't actually find it in their day to take 8 to 10 hours. I think a lot of it comes from you want to get into a good college, so you feel like your resume has to be full of all these activities that you're doing, all these AP classes that you're doing, which is great and all, but all that commitment takes time. And the time, I think, and it's sleep that is missing out on all your hours, because you put you prioritize all these other activities first, and, you know, you'll sleep when you have the time. I don't think people think it's as important as it actually is.
Yeah, what I found so interesting about that interview is she gave the statistic 8 to 10 hours a night, and every morning I'm waking up at 6:30. So if I want 10 hours of sleep a night, I'm going to bed at 8:30.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never even, you know, thought about that. It's never occurred to me that, you know, go to bed that early.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think as high school has gone on for me, and I think a few of my peers, you know, you wanted to start doing homework later. You don't feel like it. You know, there's more due. You can start driving places. Mm-hmm. You have money now. You can go get food. And so I think that there's this struggle about whether you want to live life or you want to focus on academics, get that sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think teens, like she said as well, there's really no way to find a balance. You could fill out your schedule all the way, still be stuck with 5 hours of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think what you were saying, you know, there's just this expectation we put on ourselves and others put on us that we are supposed to be performing at such high levels even when we're sleeping. You know?
Yeah.
We should be getting those 8 hours of sleep. And from my experience, I do run on naps. You know, I'll come home, take a 2 hour nap, stay up till about midnight and finish mm-hmm. homework and then just go to bed and then run through the week, just wait to get to the weekend so I can sleep in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what a lot of teens do. And I find it so interesting that that's not what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
That's so against the current. It should be the complete other way around. You know, we should be prioritizing, but I just had never really been able to bring myself to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it also becomes an issue is the napping. So I know people who they go to school and then they go home and they take these long naps. They nap till dinner time. And then even if they didn't have homework and even if they could go to sleep at 8 or 9 o'clock, they can't because they already took those naps. So then they're not going to sleep until 2 or 3 in the morning. And so the next day they're really tired again. So they're going to take the nap and then the nap's not going to let them sleep. And so then they're going to be, and it's just this vicious cycle. And it's so hard to get out of it once your body gets used to something like that. So
let me ask for your opinion on something. So do you think that sleep can affect academic performance?
I mean, definitely. I'll be in classes when you're in that really boring lecture or whatever, and you look around and there's like 5 people sleeping. And I mean, you're not going to do well in school if you're sleeping through your classes. And me personally, like, I find it difficult to concentrate when I'm really tired. Because, like, when I'm really tired, I just want to go to sleep. I don't want to sit down. I don't want to do the homework. I don't want to concentrate.
Yeah, so. Definitely. Once you get to, like, 4th period and 5th period in your day, I'm just, you know, falling asleep in class. I can't focus. And
right after lunch.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. That's what kills you. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't really. Do you think that there's a solution some way in school that could incorporate promoting sleep?
Nap time.
Yeah, nap time. Yeah. Wouldn't that be great? Like a half hour a day. But
yeah, I think it's really difficult. And I think that it's something that I think teachers and administrators need to keep in mind, especially when giving out homework and stuff like that, is that if it's too much, if this stuff isn't necessary, should they really just be more encouraging? You know what? The night before a test, maybe you shouldn't spend all that time cramming. Maybe it would be better just to get the good night's sleep so you're not falling asleep taking the test the next day. And I think it's something that teachers need to talk about and emphasize more, that studying's very important. Yes, you should definitely study, definitely shouldn't cram, but also to make sure that you should get a good night's sleep. A day before a race or a day before a big game, you'd want to definitely get a good night's sleep. I think it's very important as well, like the night before a really big test, to get a good night's sleep.
And I think for a lot of teens, it's the main problem is the phone. Because me personally, you know, I will stay up all night on my phone watching YouTube, looking through Twitter and Facebook, just, you know, entertaining myself when I could be sleeping. And so I think that, you know, what she said was interesting, half hour before bedtime, but most of the time I don't know when bedtime is
because
it's dependent on what I'm doing. So I'm interested to see when that app goes live, what it can do for teens and how it can help us, because I think a system like that would be really innovative and insightful for a lot of teens and help them.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. Well, that concludes our Teen Health Matters. I hope that everyone listening can go home and make sure that they get a really good night's sleep tonight. So I'm Grace Leachman.
I'm Patrick Keefe.
And thanks for listening.